Hey, the 82 preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. So don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, every opening tip to all those buzzer beaters, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and much more. And if you're new to sports betting, it's super easy to get started. Try betting on something simple like a team to win. Go to the app, select your team, and place your first bet. That's simple. And here's something to sweeten the deal. For new customers, bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Again, use the code SPORTSHUB. And if you're a new customer, you'll get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. That's only on DraftKings.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketball terms.
You have a team winning when you have a whole group of players that are in their mid and early 20s. It's really a model that's going to allow you a great amount of success if you can retain, you know, those players. So I think that the baseball algorithms will demonstrate that they are in for a good run if they retain those players.
Do you get any sense that they want to, that they're trying to lock up Mookie Betts first and then they can address the rest of it?
I don't know. I was just getting champagne dust, so I have not talked to him at length about that yet. You know?
Scott, how's Aaron Sanchez coming off the...
With a pocket full of shells. We rally around our family. With a pocket full of shells.
Welcome into Zolak and Bertrand from Warrior Ice Arena today. Dan Shaughnessy, the Boston Globe, is with us. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Beetle.
How you doing, buddy? You warm?
I'm already sick.
You're looking great. Move that way.
I sound like Barry
Beetle,
White.
Beetle was sick yesterday.
You will never find.
You're sick today.
Another love.
I'm digging your Clemson hat. Love your Clemson hat.
Yeah, this is Newton North.
Yeah, so it looks like Clemson.
Today is Clemson. Go Clemson.
The Newton North Tigers. Zoe made me wear it because he thinks it's hooting on the BC Clemson thing.
Are they playing? So who are they playing? Are they playing BC this week? Clemson, right?
Yeah, it's sold out already.
Got it.
Yeah, it's a big thing.
Love Clemson.
Wow.
Let's talk about that comment right there that you just heard. That's Scott Boras at the MLB GM meetings talking about the Boston Red Sox. He apparently told John Henry to get out of the soccer game. He said it right to him. Said, you don't look good in soccer shorts. You shouldn't be owning a soccer team. You should be more invested in your baseball team. You should be spending more of your money on your baseball team. That's Scott Boras, super agent Scott Boras, who represents quite a few of the Red Sox players and has obviously interest in what happens with these guys going forward.
Huh. I miss the old days when Larry Lucchino was there calling him a liar to his face.
John Henry?
It was way more. No, Scott Boras.
If I'm John Henry, I'd tell this guy, go pound sand.
Is Boras saying this? This is what I would like to know about this comment. Is he saying this because he's just trying to be a pest? You're trying to be a thorn in their side? No, why don't you give up your soccer team? You're just trying to agitate them?
Sure.
Or is it that he truly believes that without the soccer team, they'd be better suited to be paying their baseball players?
I'm sure he believes both of those things. And he is the god of baseball. He rules baseball. He was at the World Series. He's always in Anaheim. He's got that box right behind home plate.
Yeah, but there's a luxury tax limit. Why, if he's already gone over that, why should he go over it even more?
Scott wants all the attention to be focused on the baseball. That's all.
But they do that. They invest. This isn't like they're spending 80% of the rest of the league.
They won the World Series.
Yeah, they won four.
Champagne dust.
Since '04, they've won four.
He's annoyed already that they're not real ready to, you know, sort of get down to brass tacks.
They don't have to.
He's aggravated that they're, you know, still celebrating their World Series win.
I know, but any commentary that the owner is somehow not completely engaged on his baseball team after
makes
that team just
bad.
Won the World Series, it's just stupid. Now it's just obvious. I mean, to me, that doesn't give you any leverage. That doesn't affect me if I'm John Henry in any way. I'm like, this clown, this idiot, this child telling me I should pay attention. Yeah, I was paying attention to the point where we just steamrolled the entire Major League Baseball entity, steamrolled the Houston Astros, got ourselves into the World Series, and made quick work of the Dodgers. What exactly am I not paying attention to, Scott?
Yeah, that sounds like they're doing their due diligence with their baseball team.
It feels like it is.
Yeah, they're serving the fans. Scott always wants more. Scott wants to set the bar. He's He's making a show for his clients and his next generation of clients.
If I'm him, I go off what young Steinbrenner said, how he was pissed off and the way it ended for the Yankees, and go to him like, you're not doing enough. Your dad would have done enough. You know, you should do more. You should invest in your baseball team more. Red Sox just kicked your ass again. They embarrassed you in Yankee Stadium. Took three straight from you right in Yankee Stadium.
Sorry.
That's the guy you should go at, not John Henry. This makes Boris look bad.
Well,
yeah. Hey, and Boris is best agent in baseball, and this is what he should do. He should push for his clients' money and make outrageous statements and claims. That's what you're supposed to do as an agent.
So is this going to annoy? I mean, they've been down this road before.
Yeah.
Is this going to get in the way of negotiations with Scott Boris?
No. Nobody. They know how to deal with Scott. They're used to this. They know what he's doing. He's posturing, again, for the clients, the next clients. And he's making his case. And none of it surprises me. I doubt it surprises them.
So J.D. Martinez, a year from now, can go hit free agency.
Yes.
Do you think he will?
Yes.
See, I think he will too.
I'd have strive to have another year like he just had, and this guy will make.
He feels
bank.
He feels, you know, he got screwed in the way things played out last year, and that Stanton hit the jackpot. He had a better year than Stanton. He won the World Series. Stanton did not. And sure, and he feels it again.
He's bitching about attention like with Goldschmidt back at the beginning of all this. So you go out and have two great years like that. He got screwed out of the MVP, not being a finalist for an MVP. This guy should feel jaded, especially if he goes out and he rakes. And he raked this year.
This time of year, next year, it'll be interesting because, you know, sales up, this guy's up, going to have some decisions.
Well, that's why I sort of think
Porcello's up too.
Yes, he is. He's free agent after next year.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be back. Not at the money that he makes now. But you've got next year Sale, Porcello, Martinez, and then you also have another Boris guy in Xander Bogaerts.
And again,
all those guys are free agents after this year. So the question is, how long can they keep this together? So for as much as you say, well, they're servicing the fans, and they did win the World Series. We're not ripping on ownership. It's how long can you keep this group together? And Dave Dombrowski's sort of giddy about the fact that for once, after winning a World Series, it doesn't all get torn down.
Right, but
it's the shelf life of this team. As we've said, there was a window. Is that window going to close a year from now, or are they going to do what Scott Boris keeps saying, which is, hey, you know, your baseball algorithms tell you that if you sign all these young guys and you keep all these guys intact, you're going to win. You're going to keep winning World Series. You're going to keep winning for a long time.
They won't do it. It'll be too pricey. You're not going to be able to. You know, the young core guys, the Bills come and do on those guys. You just referenced Bogaerts. Betts will be next. And then the pitching staff, they're getting a little long in the tooth, and the money's big. So they were built to win last year, and they did. They had to, because where this is going, it's going to be very hard. It's hard to repeat in baseball to start with, and for them, given the money and the dollars that they're already at the threshold and what's going to happen to these salaries, like Betts is going to double next year automatically. They're not getting much forgiveness. They'll lose Kimbrel, et cetera, but not a lot coming off the books compared to what's going to go on the books.
So basically we have one more year of this team being good.
I think, it's going to be really hard to keep it going, and it's not really their fault. It's structured so that you don't stay up there like that, and unless you just want to blast through the luxury tax and just not care, then I do think they care. They don't want to do
that. What kind of shirt you have on there?
Oh, look at this.
Oh, my God. You have a picture of your column up.
My face is on it.
Since you're at Warrior Ice Arena, you got a hockey T-shirt that you made.
Yeah, I do.
You know what you look like? Joe Pesci's sidekick, Sticky Bandits from Home Alone. Put your hands up.
Just trying to stay warm.
Jesus.
Why are you taking the Clemson hat off?
Yeah, I'll wear the Clemson hat.
It's
Newton
North. Your head's so big, I don't know.
No, we'll just put it right here.
My head's big.
I'll just put it right there. There you go.
Love Clemson.
Love him.
Dan looks like the killer in Dead Zone. He's the guy walking around in the pea coat and the hat.
Did you feed Tina?
It's an obscure reference, but it fits.
I have no idea what it is.
No idea.
It's him.
You guys enjoy that traffic on the way in today, by the way?
Can we talk about whoever built the tunnel?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's the tunnel's fault?
They should have made the tunnel bigger.
I'm confused why the tunnel at both ends is wider and has a different height than it does as it squeezes down in the middle. Why would you allow that massive truck to enter the tunnel and then get stuck all the way underneath? You see what I'm saying? When you go on Sterile Drive, you have those hanging, swinging signs there. Clunk, hey, attention, clearance, right here.
Yeah.
There's no warning for clearance when you enter the tunnel. Not that moron shouldn't have known the damn height of his truck.
But it was right at the start of the tunnel. It wasn't like...
Oh, was it? I thought the video was down inside.
Yeah, it was, but not far into the tunnel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was like, jammed that thing underneath.
And the guy was apparently already scraping the top as he was driving. Jesus. And then he finally hit a spot where it just wasn't going to be able to continue that
What was that?
Yeah. Bam. You know, I bring this up because we've discussed this on the show before, and I've amended what I think the solution should be. Not so much because on Stero, the damage, I think, should be done like right at the entry.
Oh, I agree.
Like you build like some sort of steel setup where
you sit at a certain height, the spikes come up and cut your tires.
Boom. Something. Yeah. Something like that. You hit some sort of alarm that just disables you.
Move-in day for college kids.
Yeah. To not cause damage to any other, you know, structures, bridges, whatever.
I got two buddies on the North Shore texted Mr. Flights this morning to Nashville because of the backup. They just turned around. Weren't even going to get on the plane. The problem is all the flights are full coming down after that. So good luck to Patriots fans.
I should start driving right now.
You may have to fly.
Hit the road.
You probably have to fly to a different city and take a connector.
Hit the road.
Go. Yeah. All the directs are
Game's not
up.
Till Sunday. Start driving right
just
now.
Just go back. Go get a rental car. Say, I want to rent this thing. I'm going to drive it to Nashville and leave it there and then keep your return flight. There you go.
All because of his
call your buddies. Tell them, Beetle and
times,
I just solved it.
That doesn't always work. If you don't get on the original flight, they kick you off.
They cancel your return flight. But you call the airline, you can stay on that flight.
Call your buddies. Tell them not to do that.
I'm not saying anything.
Call the airline. Make sure they keep your flight on the return.
Their day just turned into hell.
Yeah,
because of some jack wagon. Yeah.
So how long was he in the tunnel before?
I don't know.
You think he heard the noise and just turned up the radio so it would go away?
I don't know.
It's got to be a real sinking feeling when you hear that scrape and they're like,
I wonder how many
I'm going to be in so much trouble.
He's probably listening to Fred ride a bike in the studio. Fred did a race on the bike in the studio.
617-779-0985. Does the Red Sox run come to an end a year from now, their current group? Is it over in a year? Or can the Red Sox spend and keep their players? More on J.D. Martinez, because Dave Dombrowski had some interesting comments on that. And J.D. Martinez, a year from now, probably going to be hitting the market. 617-779-0985. We start a little bit of baseball. We'll get to Craig Kimbrell and his agent as well coming up. Dan Shaughnessy is with us, and we are at Warrior today.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub. The Bruins are in action tonight on The Sports Hub. Zolak and Bertrand are on the Star Market Sports Deck at Warrior Ice Arena on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
But his leadership and impact on the team was extraordinary, where the writers were very well aware of it, and there was recognition. Now, I don't know of any player at any time in my career has had a greater impact on a team, apart from his performance, with his leadership and influence in the locker room, and the unique information he conveyed and his interaction with the ownership and with the coaches. I don't know of any player ever that's had more of an impact on a team than what JD did in 2018.
Discussing the impact.
Yeah, can I just start with
J.D. Martinez?
How about Paul Yastrzemski, 1967, who played defense? I mean, J.D., nice year.
But Yaz wasn't a free agent, though.
Oh, he qualified. That was the only free agent?
Yeah, he said no free agent signing has ever impacted a team more than J.D.
Free agent signing.
Yeah.
Schilling?
I'll have to do a deeper research.
Clemens?
Sure they're out there. Well, I mean, Stanton hit 59 home runs last year.
Yeah, but they didn't win.
That was pretty good. Yeah.
Team didn't win.
Yes,
God. Wow, he got 59.
Red Sox won.
Jesus.
And by the way, it feels
such a bad start.
This is what it feels like. You know, Hardy, you say, they just won the World Series, right? You've already got the agent for J.D. Martinez and the team sort of sniping back and forth at each other. So
right.
The offseason has begun.
Here's your problem, though. When the agent has to start going to all these other intangibles and qualities off the baseball diamond, whether it's not, you know,
he doesn't
the
have to with Martinez.
He isn't, but he is, though. He's even trying to sell it more. You know, the input and the talking to ownership.
People have sold us on that all year long.
I understand that, but it worked for him, and it's worked for some of the players, but really, that's something you're going to sell somebody on?
Well,
how about just the player itself?
Scott feels
bad. The player itself speaks for itself. Why do you need this other stuff?
Because if you have something else you believe you can sell, you sell it.
Yeah.
And Boros feels he's embarrassed by the way it played out last year, because he thought it was going to end up better, and it didn't. So he sold his guy.
So what do you mean? So it took so long to sign him?
And he didn't get the money that he thought he
was going to get. There was no market. The market was not there last year.
Randy Martinez was a disappointed dude when that thing was over coming here.
Yeah.
And it's not what he was hoping for and not what he was sold by Scott. So Scott's, is a makeup call by Scott going on here, too. Don't underestimate that.
Evan Drellick is covering the GM meetings for NBC Sports Boston. He writes, redoing the deal now for J.D. Martinez would mean guaranteeing more of the contract. And Dombrowski made that sound like an uncomfortable proposition for the Red Sox, despite how successful Martinez has been. Quote, he can choose to leave. It's his opt-out. He said this on Wednesday. But the reason we put him in there, we're medically oriented, as we went through at the time. That medical hasn't changed, Dombrowski said. What is that all about?
What is that all about?
I don't understand. Like, it's the player's opt-out. It's not a team opt-out. The team doesn't have the chance to opt out. They do have a protection as far as an injury goes. They have a protections if a specific health situation arises.
Right, that's boilerplate stuff. Is he suggesting there's something special about this guy's medical? I mean, I don't remember anything like that. You know, like Price's unique elbow. Or that
do you remember last year when they finally – remember, when are they going to announce it? When are they going to announce it? When is it coming? When is it happening?
Right.
And, you know, is the deal being held up? Remember he was asked, was there any point when you thought the deal wasn't going to get done?
Right.
And he said, no, I never feared that. But there was something in his medical that they, you know, went through and sort of went over it again and again and again.
Did we ever find out what that was?
No.
No. And here it is again.
Yeah, so there's an additional opt-out in there, and it sounds, I mean, to go back to how it was reported at the time, it sounds like there was the opt-out that was put in after year four that was added in, and that was like some sort of give-back in exchange for the injury protections on Martinez. But this is just his way of saying, yeah, well, we still have our concerns about whether or not he's going to be able to hold up over the course of the deal.
Yeah, JD's.
That's what Dave Dombrowski just did yesterday. Yeah. So champagne dust my ass, Scott. Look at what's happening. Look at what you've got going on. You've got your own GM taking digs at one of your best players. How many days ago did they win the World Series?
Yeah, it was 2 weeks.
Like 10? Yeah. 11 days ago? It's on, baby. It's on. It's just that it gets to be off-season time real fast. Major League Baseball, after it ends. And that's what happened yesterday. J.D. Martinez taking a shot from Dave Dombrowski. Yeah, the medical thing is still in there. Yeah, that medical thing is still there. Don't forget that. Don't forget that we have protections with him. You want to opt out? Go for it. You want to opt out after next year and test the market? Be our guest. If he does next year, Dan, is he coming back?
I wouldn't think so.
If he has another year like this, I don't think there's any chance
he's
back.
No way.
This is your best-case scenario that you want, Beetle.
And it'd be a little bit
Have him opt out, have him go off, win a World Series.
And how great would that
play
be?
Play your ass off for 2 years, and you're not committed to the guy for the long term.
How perfect is that for the Red Sox? Versus
exactly the way you want it to happen.
Exactly the way, instead of having someone like Stanton locked up for a decade, you get to have 2 years of this, and then you sort of figure out where you're at, if you're going to be able to keep your young guys,
right.
Bogarts, Betts, all those guys coming forward. Are you going to keep Chris Sale? What's he look like after next year? A lot of money that they're going to have to spend if they want to keep all these guys. If J.D. Martinez produces again and has the same year that he just had, forget it. He's gone. And it will end up working out for the Red Sox. I love the sniping. I do. I love the sniping. Yeah, well, the medical's still in there, Scott. Keep talking. Keep talking. We'll bring up the medical stuff. That's what we'll do. 617-779-0985. The most impactful free agent ever.
Yeah, I got to go back.
On a team. He's probably got a pretty good case, though. We talked about all the
current modern-day baseball, maybe. Because now, like, Dan's reaching. You know, you're trying to go back years. You know, you go back to 60s, 70s. You're looking into the 80s. Yeah, I mean, current day, he may have a case for it.
Big part of their turnaround. Can't deny him that.
No, that's what changed. Not, you know, 1 year to the next, what was the difference? Alex Cora and Johnny Martinez.
You look at guys like Sandoval and Hanley, and it's just, like, not even in the game. You talk about impact free agents, no impact whatsoever. He spent all that money. Going back to Manny Ramirez?
Well, I don't know where Manny. I mean, he got.
Yeah,
he
but
got
not in year one.
No, but.
He was great, but it didn't.
But
the impact of a free agent, however it's termed, right?
Yeah.
I mean, do we have to minimize
it? We know Cleveland did.
Do we have to minimize it to the initial plunge here into the organization?
Yeah.
Let me talk about Craig Kimbrell for a minute here. His agent is telling teams that he's the greatest closer of all time.
See you later. You know, it's been nice. We love you. You know, love those you know, those clean innings against the Orioles in June.
There's no shot he's back here.
No
shot. Eric Gagne is the best pitching coach of all time.
I mean, why would you commit 3 or 4 years to this when you saw what
you've
you
held
saw?
Your breath with him at the end?
I mean, he's trending the wrong way during regular season, and then postseason you saw he lost his job. I mean, Chris Sale was the closer at the end, as far as I'm concerned. So, you know, it was
nice. That say something for you?
They got a lot of good. They got a lot of great saves. He was automatic, like I said, in June. Clean innings, 3-run lead, Orioles, great. But that's not what you're buying, and it doesn't look like it's trending in the right direction for him. He might be a Hall of Fame closer. He's halfway there with the number of saves, putting up all these saves, and somebody's going to bite on that in a big way. Phillies,
of course.
Dodgers, they'll be lining up.
Have them.
Yeah.
Have them.
Yeah. Thanks.
Les is in Rhode Island. What's up, Les?
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah. Les.
Hello.
More is less.
Yeah.
Less is more.
Going once.
Less is no more.
What is it? What is that?
I'm telling you, it's aliens. That should be our new show music.
Where does that music come from?
So nobody knows?
Nobody knows. It's on our end. It has to be on our end.
Less is no
That just appears like in
It's happened twice on this show. It's happened once on Felgram as.
It's like in Contact. Remember that Jodie Foster movie? The sound? It's coming
That's
from
what
another,
I said.
It's coming from another
century
or something. Another alien nation.
Mike in West Roxbury on the Red Sox payroll. What's up, Mike?
Hey guys, how's it going? Obviously the championship was great and everything, but I don't know how I have trouble like really enjoying it knowing that the Sox spent the most in baseball, almost $30 million more than the next team. I know, but isn't it? I remember before we won, everyone would always say, I'm glad we're not the Yankees. You know, they're winning championships, but they're the number one payroll, and we always poo-pooed on the Yankees. And now we're literally almost four times payroll above the White Sox, who are the 30th in the league. And it's just like, at what point is that enjoyable anymore when a team is spending so much money?
I'll tell you when it's enjoyable, all the time. You know what my gripe would be? Why are the White Sox not spending more money? Spend more money. They have the money. The revenues in baseball are huge. Spend more money. It's not a Red Sox problem. It's a White Sox problem. It's a Tampa Bay Rays problem. It's not your issue anymore. Everybody in baseball has money. They just choose not to spend it.
Marlins problem.
So screw them. Not up to. Who cares? I'm not letting that bother me. Forget that. Yankees spent a lot of money, too. Dodgers spent a ton of money. They're going to spend even more next year. It's not your issue. Doesn't get in my way of the enjoyment of the Red Sox one bit.
Not at all. They're playing by the rules. The rules allow them to spend whatever they want. So spend whatever you want. Get as good a team as you can.
So they had the best team in baseball. You had the best record. They roll through the playoffs. They go through New York. They go through Houston. They beat the Dodgers. You have the duck boat parade, and you're going down with your family thinking, oh, this is such a good championship, but I just can't enjoy it because they spent too much money.
Right.
Like, what freaking fan says that? You won the whole damn thing.
Well, you lose the chip on your shoulder that, like you said, you used to carry around because, the Yankees would outspend anybody.
Well, you're there now. When you win and you get in there, that's what you do now.
Yeah, there's a number of teams who do it, who spend a lot, and that obviously don't always win. The Yankees have been spending a lot. And they haven't won in a while. It's not a guarantee, but obviously it helps. So why wouldn't you do it? If you're a baseball owner, why wouldn't you spend the money? Because you want to keep it for yourself. So is that what you'd rather have? Rather have John Henry keep more money for himself than spend the money on the team and bring a World Series trophy back to Boston? Because that is a real alternative. Not guaranteed. They spent $10 million less dollars. They wouldn't have won the World Series.
Right.
But.
Which is why Boris's comment's probably going to go right up their backside. Like,
it would be good if you spent more on the Globe paying me. So I could actually make that case.
What are they doing with that building?
Reallocate
the
money.
It out. Like, what are they doing
617-779-0985.
Yes.
I want to give you some numbers on some impending free agents and whether or not you'd want to keep them here in Boston. We'll do that coming up next with your calls. Here's Hardy with headlines.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Well, the Celtics and Bruins in action tonight. Bruins are home to take on the Canucks. They've already played once this season. A 2-1 overtime loss for the Bees back on October 20th in Vancouver. We're live in the Warrior Ice Arena for morning skate. Judd Surratt and Bob Beers will have the call later tonight right here on the Bruins Radio Network, driven by the all-wheel drive Honda Pilot. Celtics road trip continues in Phoenix. Arena trying to avoid another road loss. It's their third of five games on the road. Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell at the call, starting with the pregame at 8:30 on 105.7 WROR. Patriots getting ready for their trip to Nashville this weekend. James White facing some former teammates. Is that helpful?
Not necessarily. Things change. People change. Players can change. I mean, I don't think you can necessarily take advantage just off previous years or what happened recently.
All right. Headlines are brought to you by AdCare Hospital. If you or a loved one is struggling with alcohol or drug use, help is just around the corner. Call AdCare at 1-800-ALCOHOL. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
So, at the Beatles. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is the home of the Bruins. The Bruins. Zoe and Bertrand are live at Warrior Ice Arena from the Star Market Sports Deck on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
Zolak and Bertrand from Warrior Ice Arena. Torrey Krug is going to join us later in the show today.
Sweet.
Today, the Bruins revealing their Winter Classic jersey for the year because they're going to have the Winter Classic Notre Dame against the Blackhawks. Torrey's going to wear the Winter Classic jersey over here to the interview. When the interview's done, he's going to take it off, he's going to sit, and then we're going to take a caller, and we're going to give it away.
Shut up. You mean he's not going to wear it to the mall?
That's pretty cool.
No, he's not.
The guy he used to play with?
No, he's going to take the jersey off. He will sign the jersey, and then we will give the jersey away.
That's awesome.
Pretty great giveaway. We also have Bruins tickets to give away today in case you want to go to a game. You know, that might be your thing. Bruins tickets coming up as well here on Zolak and Bertrand with Dan Shaughnessy. Bruins haven't hit the ice yet, right? Nope, nobody's out there.
Nope, no pucks yet.
Somebody was out there much, much earlier skating apart from the team. I didn't get a chance to see who it was, but for the most part, no, team is not ice yet. Zamboni's out there now. It'd be dangerous.
What does that
can't
mean?
Do that.
What does that mean?
That somebody is out there rehabbing. Somebody was out skating.
I know.
Before
yeah,
the
like
team.
It was,
I told
was
you,
it,
I could sit there and watch that Zamboni all day. It's like watching get. It's like
you
getting
have to
your
drive.
Carpet. That's like getting your carpets cleaned.
I want to see Zoe driving the Zamboni.
It'd be boring. Let's stay right in line.
We also have fantasy football with Scott Gramley coming up next segment. Dan will be great on that. I'm looking forward to Dan on fantasy. Jim Bowden, former GM. Who is he the GM of? Is he in
Reds?
Cincinnati. Right. Okay. Well, he writes for The Athletic now, and he's got some numbers. And damn it, I have to log back in. Hold on. He's got some numbers about free agents. He's sort of projecting what the free agents are going to be in terms of the kind of money they're going to get. And the question becomes... Oh, Jim, I forgot my password. Are you logged in? Freaking Athletic. I pay these people. What is my password? Nope. That's not right.
Less is
no more.
This is going to be awkward.
Damn it!
Try boobs with a Z.
This is going to be awkward when Jim gives you his password. Yeah, it's Beatles sucks.
No, here it is.
224.
No, he's got the story right here.
Oh.
And he's got a bunch. He's got a bunch of different people in here, like Bryce Harper going at prediction $320 million, reportedly turned down $300 million.
Yeah, he's going to Yankees.
Prediction on Manny Machado is $310 million, and then number three on the list is Craig Kimbrell. At $17 million per year. 4 years, 17. Prediction, 4 years, $68 million. Do you think he gets that?
No, a little bit under.
Do you think it's a little under?
Yeah.
So you think he gets what, like four at 64?
Yeah.
So like 16 a year?
I do.
Who gets 16 a year?
Dan?
Who?
Phillies.
Well, they played Papelbon back in the day, too.
He's got Nathan Eovaldi, number seven on the list. The AAV is $14
million. They do spend stupid money.
$14 million. And this is what Les in Rhode Island wanted to talk to when we heard that sound. He's got him at $14 million, 3 at 14 for 42. The Red Sox, I think, would and should do that in a heartbeat. Dan?
This is still your trade Porcello and use that money for him, right?
I would do this regardless. I'd find ways to save money. You got Ramirez coming off the books. You've got the space for that, even with the raises.
If they have the space for that, they should do that. That would be their free agent acquisition.
Okay, but I would also trade Porcello anyway.
I understand.
That would be part of my gate. Of course you would do this. 3 at 42? 14 a year?
Yeah.
Do you think that would be a good deal for them?
I do.
Oh, you don't sound.
Well, don't forget. I mean, look at his lifetime record. He's had two Tommy John surgeries. He throws 100. Guys who throw that hard don't hold up. And he has not been a good pitcher in the big leagues in his career. He was in October this year. He was very good.
He's coming off the surgery. He's hitting his stride, Dan.
I understand. But that's when teams get duped sometimes, you know? Remember Pablo hit 3 home runs in 1 game. This guy just won the World Series. He looked good.
3 at 14.
I know.
If they can do it, they should.
I agree with that.
I'll be upset if he goes somewhere else.
If they do that, Beal,
at 3 at 14.
They have so much money sunk into their starting four, it would be beyond any other team.
All right, he's got Joe Kelly in here. 2 years at $8 million per year, 2 at 16. $16 million to keep Joe Kelly. $8 million a year.
I don't think they're
this is
that.
The problem coming off
he's
a championship.
Yeah, you're going to reward guys for a championship. That's what you've got to be careful of.
At least for me. I'm not a heartless. Beatles heartless. Beetle will cut guys loose regardless. Yeah. I look at Joe Kelly. I'm like, yeah.
You got to remember what
get
he is.
Get Joe Kelly right. back, man.
Someone's see,
I think you need to be proactive
and
quietly. Get in on let's get Evaldi. Like, let's quietly get Evaldi inked up. Let's give him a decent contract offer. Let's get this guy signed.
Okay.
You know, because, I mean, the big names are out there. You know.
Someone's going to overpay Joe Kelly, and don't let it be you.
Then yeah,
don't,
make
that's
sure
you're
how
not,
I feel.
You got to have walkaway. You got to have a walkaway number. Meaning, okay, we're in up to this point.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get the stupid money? We're not going to be stupid.
For Evaldi, I agree with that.
There might not be stupid money for Evaldi, which might lead them to hurry up and jump and sign him earlier than anybody.
I don't know. I think Evaldi's going to get paid.
He's young.
Yeah, I mean.
And some of them see the two Tommy Johns as a positive. It's like it's a new guy, a new arm.
Well, they say you're rebuilt.
Yeah,
almost stronger than before.
So Andrew Miller is now 33 years old. He had a salary last season of $9 million. And due to knee shoulder issues that he's had this year, he's out there being projected as getting a 1 year prove it type of deal, one year, $10 million. Would you rather have Joe Kelly for 2 years and $16 million total or 1 year and $10 million of Andrew Miller?
Andrew Miller.
You'd rather take Andrew Miller back for a year. So there are other guys you can consider. That's why I wouldn't extend on Joe Kelly. If Joe Kelly's going to get stupid money, see you later on that. 617-779-0985. Mike is in Virginia Beach. What's up, Mike?
Speaking of money, so the previous caller, you know, if you clung to, you know, I'm a Red Sox fan and we lost because we don't spend enough money, and now it feels bad for you, that just means you probably weren't that good of a loser in the whole process of it, right? And it's like I said to this call screener, we football fans back in the early 90s weren't like, oh, yeah, we're 1-15 because we didn't spend enough money. Or everybody else got to spend more money than we did. You know what I mean? It's unfortunate that you clung to that as that helped you feel good about not winning. But it's come back to bite you in the butt. Now you just got to deal with it, right?
I'm not sure I understand the bad losing part because they've always spent money.
No, I'm saying, like, if you as a fan were clinging to, you know, I'm a Red Sox fan and we lost because you know, the Yankees spend the most money. That's you're right. Let's do it that way. So if you're, as a fan, you find more comfort in hating on the team that won because they spent more money. Well, now you're kind of in that same situation, and you just got to kind of go with it, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, Mike, there was a point in time when the Yankees could spend more than anybody else. They could because they had more money than everybody else. But everybody in baseball has money now, Dan, right?
Right. Well,
everybody has money.
You didn't have the revenue sharing and the penalties that you have now.
So right, 25 years ago that didn't exist.
It really breaks your chops to do it now because you're bankrolling
we'll
other teams
years
that, aren't,
ago.
That
right.
aren't funding it. So, I know John Henry really hates that.
That's an outdated argument now. Oh, well, you win because you have money. Well, guess what? Everybody's got money.
Right.
Once upon a time, that was true, that you just couldn't possibly spend what other teams were spending. You could look up, everyone would look up at the Yankees in the late 90s, and there weren't other teams that could financially do what they were doing.
Baseball's had underfunded teams represented in the postseason, Oakland being one. They're there just about every year. They don't have much money. They don't spend much money.
Connor is in Charlestown today. What's up, Connor?
Hey, what's up, guys? Dan, I just have a quick question for you. Can you clarify
the Ruzney-Castillo thing for me and how much money is tied up with him for how long. And also, I just also want to know, can you also clarify why Sarge Riley is so terrible on the radio? Thanks.
Waited for that. Yeah, so Castillo, we all know. Is it 72 or 80?
72.
And if he's on the team, it counts toward your luxury tax threshold. That's
does he still have those two
team.
Porsches yeah. and he drives back and
it
forth?
Currently does not count.
No. That's why he doesn't make the team right. in years when he's playing better than some guys that are in the big leagues.
He's got total money remaining of...
It's almost over.
$24.5 million over the next two seasons.
So
he's got $24.5 million remaining over the next 2 years.
That was dead money.
Damn. Yeah, that is brutal. The Red Sox have already paid him about 50.
How do you not stay up at
They
night?
Paid him over 52 that. Million yeah. to this point.
Whoever's decision or whoever's.
And it was a bidding war. They weren't the only
I
ones.
I know it was a bidding war, but I mean, I know you make money and they make billions, right? The guy's a billionaire who owns the team, but stuff like this has got to. This is the stuff that.
Oh, Pablo?
This is the stuff that like makes you want to get out of the game of owning a baseball team. Like,
that hurts.
How do we screw this up? How do you screw something up that bad?
Fantasy football with Scott Gramling coming up next.
Oh, good.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, Zoe and the Beatle. Zoe and the Beatle. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand are overlooking the rink at the Warrior Ice Arena on the Star Market Sports Deck on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Scott Gramling, as he joins us here on Zolak and Bertram, we're on the road today at Warrior Ice Arena. So if you hear the puck smashing off the glass in the background, that's what that noise is. Scott, what's up?
How you doing, guys?
We're good, doing buddy. Well. Let's get right into the lineup. Zo, what's your pick this week?
Taking Connor from Pittsburgh.
Oh,
Kitts has been
James
productive,
Connor.
Quiet. He's not a high-priced guy. Pittsburgh's trending. They're on the way up. I'm rolling with him, man. Guy finds a way to get in the
what's
end
he,
zone.
What's he got on average, like points per game, Scott? He's up there.
DraftKings points per game. He is, let's see here.
I have it here. 28-1.
28-1. Yeah, that's a pretty big number, I gotta say. Yeah, you know, 8,300. So he is number six among running backs. This week. Oh, yeah. No, you got to pay a premium for him these days. It's okay. I don't love it. I think that this Panthers defense has been tough against opposing running backs. They haven't given up a 100-yard rusher since week two. That was Tevin Coleman. I think they're very tough to run against up the middle. So it's all right. It's not the way I would have gone. But, hey, I've been wrong before.
All right. So goes with a running back, a Pittsburgh running back. Shocker. I'm going to go with a weird pick this week. It's weird, but I think it has some value. And it's a guy we just saw here in New England, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, rookie for the Green Bay Packers, who I think has a favorable matchup against Miami. But, man, do I like this kid. What do you think?
Yeah, it's not a great matchup against Miami. If there is a strength in Miami, it is that secondary. And you look at what the Dolphins... the Dolphins have given up an average of 11 receptions to opposing receivers per game this year. And it's actually only the Rams, Cowboys, and Lions that have given up an average of fewer than that. So it's a feast or famine pick, and he's a feast or famine type of guy, right? He can get you the four catch, 120-yard, one touchdown game. A big play guy. He's been averaging, he's averaging over 20 yards per reception, but in the last three games, he only has the eight receptions. Now, it went for 100 yards, in the three receptions against the Pats. We'll see what happens. I'm kind of thinking that's going to be more of an Aaron Jones type game. I just think I could see the Packers getting up early in that and sort of riding the running game. But hey,
yeah,
look,
your guys need a big win. They need a big win too.
Oh, they absolutely do. Your guys' picks last week were solid. We had a lineup that cashed, so let's roll with it.
Yeah, we're just taking some big gambles in this one. I could feel it. That's what I could feel this week. Some gambles. All right, what else do you have?
Well, I kind of went with that same theme a little bit. So I went with the quarterback tight end combination of Carson Wentz and Zach Ertz. I think Eagles coming off the bye, going against the Cowboys, coming off a short week. Cowboys looked awful on Monday night, and that was a game that they have 15 days of rest for. I like the combination of Wentz and Ertz. And the funny thing is, Wentz isn't getting a lot of respect in fantasy circles because he missed the first two games, so he hasn't been highly rated in terms of what the season-long boards are. But he's consistently been putting up solid numbers, two or three touchdowns, between 260 and 320 yards. So we're going with that combination there. I think it's one that can get us some solid points there. You look at what the Wentz-Ertz combination did the last time they hosted the Cowboys. Ertz had one of his biggest games of his career, 13 catches, 139 yards, two touchdowns. That was in the 2016 finale. Other running back, I'm going with the aforementioned Tevin Coleman going against the Browns. Coleman's coming off a solid game against the Redskins. I think he can do damage on the ground and through the air there. Tyreek Hill is the big money guy I've taken going against that Cardinals defense. Kind of a little underpriced at $7,300. I thought that was good value. The money that I'm trying to spend cheaply here is a bounce back situation with both Tyler Lockett going against the Rams and with Tyrell Williams of the Chargers going against the Raiders. Both guys had down games last week, but they've been coming off a good string of games. Lockett's got six touchdowns this year. I think both those guys could find the end zones in favorable matchups. And then left us with 2,600, and the Lions were the best defense to go with that going against the Bears. I still don't fully believe in Trubisky. I think he can be erratic, and I feel like the Lions can force some turnovers.
Yeah, is there ever a point when you're filling out a weekly lineup that you put defense before one of your positional players? Or is it always, you know, what do I have left, yeah, and what can I get defensively?
I'll be honest with you.
It's always last consideration, right?
Well, I usually have the flex open and the other receiver open, and I go ahead and pick a defense. And then I see what I can get at receiver and flex, and if I'm happy with what's there, I end up just leaving that defense. This was a situation where I wanted to upgrade to Tyler Lockett specifically, so I ended up downgrading the defense. I think the defense is what you use as your kind of flexible chess piece there to just sort of get one in, because it is such a crapshoot, right? Just predicting these turnovers is just so hard. What I don't want to do, though, is pick one of the bottom defenses when they're going up against a tough matchup.
All right, Scott, so our lineup: Carson Wentz, James Conner, Tevin Coleman, Valdez-Scantling. We've got Tyreek Hill, Tyler Lockett, Zach Ertz, Tyrell Williams, and the Lions defense. And,
yes.
That leaves us with, what, $100 left, I think?
$100 left.
Yeah, okay. By the way, you got to clean the screen on your computer, Jim says. It's getting a little...
Oh, yeah. The funny thing is I did it after I sent him that photo.
All right, Scott Gramling, thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good one.
See you, buddy.
All right, Scott Gramling joining us here on Zolak and Bertrand with your DraftKings lineup for the weekend.
He had a weird week this week as far as travel. Like, in Buffalo, came back down to New York to do some podcasts, and then flew back to Buffalo to hang out and, like, enjoy the city for four more days and see another Bills game, see Nathan Peterman in back-to-back weeks.
He survived.
That's, like, brutal. That's like, yeah, you'd rather get kicked than you-know-what.
Hey, you mentioned James Conner as your pick, right?
Yeah.
Later on in the show, I'd like to get to the situation that is developing in Pittsburgh. It's a weird thing going on.
I didn't know it was so high, 8,300.
Yeah, no, but it's a weird thing going on with the situation with Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
Strange. Strange. We'll get to that coming up. Dan Shaughnessy will rejoin us in a moment. Mm-hmm. We sent him outside to warm up, defrost a little bit.
Yep.
And now he will be back with us after these headlines with Hardy. Stay tuned.